So yeah, what I like about poop.
Okay. What do you like about poop?
Oh, it's just funny.
Poo is funny?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Well, okay, this is sort of a Louis C.K. bit that I'm taking this from, so it's not me originally. But
sharp cheddar to get
Let's face it, okay, first of all, it comes from your butt, right?
Okay.
It smells, and it makes noises when it comes out because it's got... Because skin flapping against it. That's funny. I mean, it's not high art, but it's funny.
I don't know what I called funny. And I'm not saying that in a prudish we don't talk about our poop way. I have no problem talking about
poop. You were talking more about farts, and maybe farts are more funny than poops.
Maybe I need to hear the bit. I guess farts are kind of funny.
I'm not saying, like I said, not saying it's high art. But you know, there's a point where it's like, yeah, you know what? Farts are kind of funny.
So here's that. This is from God's Country Creamery, Farmstead Artisan Cheeses, Country Blue.
God's Country Creamery.
Yeah, it's from Ulysses, PA. I wasn't going to not buy it just because they...
Right, yeah, no, it's just funny.
But check the veins, or the mold on the veins, it's not... I guess it's kind of blue, but it's kind of brownish, too.
Smells good. It smells just right. So... Ooh. Wow. That is interesting. And tasty. Okay. Sorry about the noises.
It's going to be a nom nom poo show.
Here's the thing I wanted to mention about the Higgs, because I do find this very interesting. So, when you read about the Higgs, and when I sort of explained to you the very basic Higgs explanation, the whole field, and things get caught in the field, and they get sort of stuck in the field. So here's the problem with that explanation. Now, the Higgs mechanism as it stands, the one that is explained by this mechanism, only covers how the W and Z bosons get mass.
Okay.
There's a different method, this thing called the Yukawa interaction, that gives fermions mass. But it also is an interaction with the Higgs field. So fermions are your quarks, your leptons. So, you know, your neutrinos, your electron flavors, and your quarks. So that's how those get mass. But here's an interesting thing for you. Okay, so a proton is made up of two up quarks and one down quark. Each of them roughly about 1 mega electron volt in terms of their mass.
Here, take a little bit of auto with your blue cheese. See if you like it better.
Well, hold on. Let me finish this explanation.
Sorry.
I want to get into this. So, like I said, proton is composed of three particles, three fermions that each have about 1 mega electron of mass. However, the proton itself weighs a giga electron of mass.
Okay.
So it's composed of three particles that interact with the Yukawa interaction with the Higgs field that give it 3% of its overall mass. The rest of the mass doesn't have anything to do with the Higgs field. So the Higgs field is not the end-all, be-all of mass.
Okay.
And that's sort of something that's not covered in this stuff. It's it's not called the mass field, you know. It's just called the Higgs field. Mm-hmm. It's this thing that gives it a type of charge which gives it mass. But it's not the end-all, be-all of mass, and that's an interesting topic that I don't think has been really...
Yeah, it definitely is. Are there any candidates for...
I'm not sure. From what I have been able to gather, it's expected that there is some sort of Higgs interaction that the vacuum energy of the gluon interchange going on, the color interchange, causes the mass buildup. But they don't know. They have no idea how. There's no good theoretical explanation for that. So it's this weird thing where it's like, does the Higgs really account for all the mass? And most of the mass that we see, most of the mass that we're made of, is not accounted for at all by this Higgs.
So you said the Higgs does the W and Z bosons?
Yes.
What do those go into? What are those?
Okay, so those are related to the electroweak interaction. So this is the... So at high enough energies, electromagnetism and the weak interaction are the same. We've seen this in, you know, accelerators, and we've been able to show this experimentally, that it's the same thing, but when you get down to lower energies, there's this thing called spontaneous symmetry breaking, and it sort of splits apart into two different types of interactions. So that's the confusing part. But the point is that the W and Z bosons are part of weak interaction, which is basically radioactivity.
Right.
Alpha decay, beta decay, that sort of thing.
So is it...
So the question is, why does the photon have no mass, but the W and Z have masses when, if you put enough energy into them, they're the same thing? So at a certain energy level, there's symmetry breaks. W and Z gain mass. Photon doesn't. Why? Because the W and Z start to interact with the Higgs field at this lower energy level.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the whole 3% thing. How is that not covered? Because everything I've heard on fairly good science sources say, hey, we have mass because of the Higgs field.
Mm-hmm. And that's not at all what's happening. I mean, that may be what's happening in some way we don't know, but that's not a way, that's not something we can explain.
And you're confident that this is what you're saying is accurate?
I'm confident this is accurate to 2%, which is a thing higher than almost all people can get to.
I mean, just fascinating because, yeah, it's definitely an unreported story. Where did you see this, or did you come to your own conclusion on it?
No, this is, it's not discovered in blogs like Not Even Wrong and Resonances and other physics blogs. So, I mean, this is not information that I'm pulling out of my ass. This is information that I've read and covered. Because, yeah, I wouldn't be able to do the math behind this. And I don't understand the Yukawa interaction at all, which is how Fermi Unsky in there interact with the Higgs field. It's completely wacky to me. And I kinda sorta vaguely get how the W and Z bosons interact with the Higgs field in a very loose kinda analogous way, which is not at all how they really interact. But the point being that you know, I know a little bit more about what's going on, and I can kind of follow the math to a tiny bit.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, okay, so there's been a lot more Mike. You wanted more Mike.
I love Mike. And he's playing a major role this season, especially at the end of episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
He really set himself up. You know, he's in with Walter. There's the silent partner. I won't spoil too much, but I'll just call her the silent partner.
Uh-huh.
And her whole thing, where you still don't know what the hell, but apparently she's some investor, some powerful, rich...
Well, no, what she is, I mean, she was, she's a member of the company that was being
Oh, okay.
She was on the she was in that meeting.
Oh, was she?
That they had with the
police.
The drug police.
Yeah.
Why can't I think of?
I mean, DEA.
Oh,
that one. Okay, yeah. I didn't see her in there.
Yeah, right. she was in that meeting, that the German company had with DEA. So she's an executive with a German company.
Okay.
And she supplied the methylamine, which they use instead of pseudoephedrine for the methamphetamine.
You know, I watch, my goal is to watch every episode twice. I'm doing a Lost thing on it. And I haven't watched episode 2 twice yet.
Mm.
So maybe I would have caught that. But thank you for the info. I missed that piece. You like that blue, huh?
I do.
It's a lot more potent and stinky than I had anticipated from. Like I said, you don't see local cheesemakers making blue cheese.
It's too bad.
When I saw this, I had to buy it. I just defaced the... this little packet was like $7. So it wasn't the cheapest cheese either. But
no.
I also got, from the same, from God's Country, this is their Hellish Havarti.
Okay, so this I'll have to give it a shot. I'm not a huge fan of spicy things.
It's not. I mean, it's spicy than your pepper jack cheese you put on your sandwich from the deli. But it's not. It's not going to make you cry.
Wah. So, Breaking Bad. Yeah, it's pretty spicy. Walt is a... Man, Jesse, I feel bad for Jesse.
He could just bail and live by an island almost, you know. He could.
Aaron Paul is so good in that role. He is so good.
You know, it's I'm coming around to him finally. But because of the character Jesse was early on, you know, where he just made life so hard for Walter. You know, it just, I mean, sure, you got to look at it from a distance and everything, but, like, I'm just starting to appreciate Jesse. I mean, even in the last season he was turning the corner and he wasn't a drug addict, I didn't like him. You know, I didn't want to like him on principle.
And Walter is not a hero. Let me stress this.
Now
Walter is an anti-hero.
Well, they've worked... I mean, at the beginning, he wasn't always an anti-hero. He was the Nobel Prize-winning chemist who... chemist who, you know, got shafted on the patent for the thing he was working on and was teaching school, got cancer, had to provide for his family. I mean, that's how it started.
Well, wait a minute. You're forgetting some important parts here. Number one, his business partners would have provided for his family had he not been an arrogant prick about it. Right?
After he got cancer. So he wasn't arrogant prick about, hey, you only want to help me now that I'm dying.
Right. But then, you know, he takes his thing and instead of taking the generosity, decides to spread meth, which is a poison, you know, to people to leech off people's suffering, and I had another thought, but I can't think of exactly what it was. But, I mean, this is a guy who has been just, you know, who just poisoned a kid in the last season.
Oh, sure. I mean, he's no longer a hero. Third season, I think, was definitely where they made him, you know, he'll do anything to survive and prosper. But it's still fascinating. I mean, this is the point where I forget the actor's name. Who plays Walt?
Bryan Cranston.
He just plays a wonderful character. And like I said, I'm finally coming on to Jesse's character. Aaron Paul plays a good character, but for the longest time I refused to give Jesse any credit, yeah, because he was the fuck up. You know, because I was in the show. You know, I had that emotional attachment, right? And I couldn't appreciate the fuck up. I'm like, why are you fucking up? Just do it right. You know?
He's so good at that role. I mean, he does it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And so convincingly. And like when he thought that he almost, like in the last episode when he was crying because he thought that he almost killed Walt because he lost his cigarette. Yeah. He doesn't know the true story, but he played that so true. It was, you know, this kid knows his stuff.
That whole scene, the environmentalist / skeptic in me was thinking, don't flush the ricin. Don't put it into the water supply. You know, like, idiot, why'd you flush it?
But it wasn't ricin.
No, he flushed... Oh. No, you're... Okay, you're right.
It was salt.
Yeah, it was salt. Okay, well, I'm happier now that he didn't put the ricin into the wastewater system. How did I miss that? I mean, I knew that it was taped behind the electric wire. Like, mm-hmm. But when you flushed it, I was like, no, don't flush the ricin. Maybe I would have cut that the second watch. Oh well. But yeah, Mike and his, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun ride. And is this the last season?
This is the
or second last.
This is 2-8 episode
and that's it?
Seasons. Yeah, and that's it. So
okay.
So we're 2 episodes into. So there's 6 more episodes this season. Technically.
Mm-hmm. They're going to take a break, hiatus, and then play the last game. Mm-hmm. It'll end with a bang. It won't peter out, that's for sure. It's the right number of episodes remaining.
Well, how do you think it should end? I mean, from now. What is your opinion on how it should end? I mean, we saw a glimpse of the future in the first episode of the season.
I'm guessing that Walt's brother-in-law, can't think of his name right now.
Hank.
I think Hank's, I mean, he's a good cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he figured out the whole Gus thing.
With help from Walter.
Yeah.
Walter was the one who pointed out that Baedeker was not a genius. Under...
Do you want the plane?
Yeah, just get a little chunk. Under alcohol. Mm-hmm. He screwed himself.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, do you think Hank only got it because of Walter's clues? Or do you think he's a good cop? If you think he's a good cop, I think he's going to really be on Walter's tail, right? And I think he might bust him.
I think there's... aspects of both. I think that he's both a good cop, but he's not Sherlock. And it's hard to see sometimes what's in front of your face.
Could just be. Just
like the guy was saying to him, you know, that Gus was, you know, the other guy got fired. Gus went to his cookouts and stuff, and right in front of me, and I didn't see it. And you see Hank considering that, but you don't necessarily know whether he's saying...
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the way I'm looking at it is, you know, it depends on how cruel Hank gets, or Walter gets. If he doesn't get too cruel, people are going to be rooting for him to succeed, become a kingpin, get rich, buy an island, right? So I'm thinking that they're going to twist off of that. So that's where I think Hank's going to bust him, you know, get past the family relationship and say, holy fuck, it's Walter running the blue meth. And, I mean, that's where I'd like to see it end. I'd like to see the sad ending where Skyler and Walter Jr. have to realize that, you know, their dad's going away forever because he was meth kingpin.
Remember that Skylar is now kind of implicated in this, too. She's part of their criminal conspiracy. Walter Jr. isn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's just eating breakfast, like always. But Skylar...
Where do you think her depression's going to go? I don't know. I don't like the whole Skylar has depression thing. I'm not sure why, but where do you think that's going to play out?
Well, Skylar is just scared to death. She knows.
Does she have good reason to be scared of Walt?
She knows he killed Gus Fring.
She didn't. He didn't technically kill him.
She doesn't know exactly what went down.
Mm.
All she knows is Gus Fring died.
Two guys died in a room, yeah.
He was a powerful guy. Clearly. He died. Just, and Walt did it.
She knew he was doing so. I mean, when she learned that he was cooking meth, and she was cooking the books in the car wash, she was all into it, though. I don't see... I don't understand her change in heart from that.
I think she wasn't... She... The part of it... I think the Ted thing helped in that she saw how afraid of her Ted was. Because Ted was still alive. But
Ted was just an idiot. He wouldn't sign over the money to the IRS.
When she came to see him,
mm-hmm.
Ted basically thought she was threatening him. He was like, I won't tell anyone. I won't tell anyone. I care my family. And she sort of came to the realization that, you know, that in Ted's eyes, she's a person who kills people. And she knows she's not. But now she knows that Walter is. And there's a transition period. She's not going to always be afraid of Walt in the same way she is right now. But this is, you know, this is mm-hmm. one or two days afterwards. This is a point where she's still trying to come to terms with it, and she is just scared to death.
Okay, I got that. Maybe just, you know, there's been a couple, I can't think of examples right now, but there, whenever a show has a severely depressed person, I don't like the character. I don't know, I just don't like depression on TV. It makes me sad.
Mwah.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be a good season.
They haven't done anything superbly cinematic yet. You know, they're amazing. I remember shots of them like in the desert and all this amazing stuff happening.
I love the scenes where they were cooking meth in their underpants in the RV out in on the crystal. What was it, crystal ship?
That's why. How can you not love Jesse?
I mean, I like I said, I got to not be invested in Walt's well-being and just enjoy the show from a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you can like Jesse. But, like, you know, up in just naturally.
I mean, come on. Yeah, bitch! Magnets!
I know what you're saying, and I'm with you. But my natural inclination from, you know, we should say, you didn't watch Breaking Bad from the beginning, so you did a bit of a marathon catch-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched it week to week from the very beginning. And so maybe you can understand how I might be a little more invested in Walt as the hero. You know, just naturally.
I just don't know how. I mean, Walt's not a hero anymore. The same way that
I've come to that realization.
The same way that, you know, kind of Tony Soprano lost his hero-ness as he came through,
mm-hmm.
as he did just more and more horrible things.
No, today I see that he's not a hero, but, you know, there's also what the heart wants, right?
Yeah, Mr. White. Yes, science.
Yes, science.
That's in the first season. I think it's the last episode of season one where Jesse learns there's a way to do meth without pseudo.
Okay. Oh, Breaking Bad is awesome.
Yeah. It's a good show. If you're not watching it, I recommend it.
Have you watched The Newsroom at all?
No, I refuse to watch Aaron Sorkin crap.
Okay. I've watched it there's that whole, you know, no one really talks like this. There's also the main character is a conservative non-Tea Party railing against the Tea Party. But it sure comes across, you know, thinking, like looking, I don't know, is Aaron, I don't know if Aaron is a conservative railing against the Tea Party, but like it just
Aaron Sorkin's like, a hardcore liberal.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes across as the way it's written is someone who's a hardcore liberal writing, begging conservatives to realize the Tea Party's fucked up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of how it's written week after week.
And, you know, you could say The Daily Show is doing that too, but The Daily Show is doing it with humor. And
well, Daily Show or The Colbert Report?
The Colbert Report is more kind of... I mean, The Daily Show is more comparable to a, like I said, like a political cartoon. Mm-hmm. Whereas The Colbert Report is just kind of a straight satire.
Get some of that ooey gooey.
Ooey gooey.
Ooey gooey blue cheese. That is funky.
Mmm.
And delicious.
It's my kind of funk.
God's country's got the funk. Gotta get that funk.
Mm. They have to start believing in God's country.
Well, you can have God's country and not have God, right? It's a beautiful landscape.
I don't see, like, Bible.
It's just a colloquialism.
Yeah.
That's why I bought it, man. Glad I didn't boycott that cheese.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I found out that they hate gay people, then I won't eat it.
Well, they probably do, but just don't look into it.
The less I know, the better.
Sorry for all the noises. This is fucking awesome cheese.
It's hard to resist because it was just so good. And we ate the whole thing.
Yeah, that was like 1,000 calories each that we didn't really need tonight. But, fuck. That's so good.
The Père Jacques went well with it, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't have Père Jacques with it. Now I will.
You must have had a little bit of it, because you offered it to me in the beginning when I was talking about the Higgs.
No, that was Otto. And I think you handed it back without tasting it.
Because I wanted to put it in my own glass.
Right. I wanted to show you how the blue cheese, all the tang, kind of broke down the smoke, and it wasn't nearly as smoky.
I can believe that, but I didn't try it. But I will say this.
Yes, Mr. White. Science, bitch.
Come on.
Fucking damn YouTube. It. Come on, man.
Yeah, Mr. White. Yes, science.
Okay. Yes, blue cheese does go with Père Jacques. 100%. Unequivocally. Go back to Meadville and get some more of the shit.
Yeah, bitch! Magnets! Oh!
That was my favorite scene right there when they were testing the truck out and the laptop flew out of his hand and smashed against the truck.
Yeah.
I like that better than the actual heist scene where they were, you know, doing the evidence room.
Okay, so here's the question. Would that work? Now, they made the point of saying that it was encrypted anyway in the second episode, so it probably wasn't even necessary. Yeah. But
yeah, because real encryption can't crack it. You know, Hank and even if they give it to the NSA, at least I believe if they used real
128-bit encryption or something like that,
yeah,
it would be it would take years to crack.
Well, it's symmetric. Hard drives are typically symmetric encryption. Needs a bigger key. So it'd be, you know, at the time, you know, 2010, 2011, when Gus would have encrypted it, he would have used the 2048-bit key with TrueCrypt. You know, Windows laptop, he would have used TrueCrypt, 2048-bit key, symmetric encryption, type in a password to unlock the volume. I mean, unless all the researchers are wrong and the NSA has magic, not crackable.
Unless P equals MP, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And the NSA knows it, which is very unlikely.
Right. Not crackable. So, yeah.
I mean, well, crackable brute force in terms of hundreds of thousands of years.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Gus's password was Gus, they could get lucky and get in right away. But let's assume he had, like, two-factor authentication. Or, he can't have two-factor with TrueCrypt. Let's presume he had 20-character passphrase.
I think it was just eight.
Eight randomized characters. Yeah, I don't think Walt would have to worry for a decade or so.
Yeah. And that's if they were concentrating solely on that,
yeah,
which they wouldn't be.
Right. So it was kind of, they should have realized that Gus would have used it. Encryption?
Well, this is Breaking Bad. Walt makes horrible decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
That should be the subtitle of the show. Walter White continuously makes horrible decisions and somehow keeps getting away with it.
Well, that's what makes the show.
Right, yeah.
If he got busted in the first season and went to prison for 20 years, the show's not going to be the show.
No, exactly. I mean, that's mm-hmm. why the show's so good. That's what makes the show fun to watch is how will they wiggle out of this situation? The tension involved in that and the humor involved in that and the artistry involved in that and the tragedy involved in that, all that, you know, combined together.
I wonder how they formulated the arc for last season, right? Because Walt has money to provide for his family. Walt is under the thumb of Gus. How do we get him out from under Gus, but not make him retire, right? And then they put in the whole Ted thing, uh-huh. You know? I just wonder how they built that arc. You know, it'd be cool to see how they came across, how they came right. to that arc. Did Gilligan have an idea up front? Did it come later, you know?
From what I understand about TV rooms, they probably had points on the line.
Well, like I'm saying,
but they charted out as they were going.
But I can imagine they say, okay, we need to get Walt out from under Gus and not be financially independent. How do we do that?
Because
he's making a shitload of money.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. How did
because we can't kill Walt.
But I want to get back to the technical aspects of this.
Oh, the magnet thing.
The magnet thing.
Sure.
So, what a powerful... Now, I know that they need a lot more power to do the magnet. And I read somewhere that they would need, like, twice as many batteries.
The distance would have killed them.
Yeah.
It's kind of an inverse square thing, right? It might even be a higher ratio. It might be a parabolic curve or a logarithmic curve or something like that, where, you know, for every one unit you go, it's 10 units more power you need type thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, the car magnet, I'm pretty sure if you turn on a car magnet 6 inches from the top of a car, it's not going to pick it up. Right, you have to touch the car, turn it on, or have it on, and you know, it the tolerances are small where the magnet is actually effective.
Right.
So that's the biggest problem with the myth busting it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's assume that instead it was right next to the magnet or close enough to the magnet through, you know, 6 inches of wall or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Would just the magnet have been able to scramble the computer?
So the one thing, the article you showed me when I talked about myth-busting it, talked to a data destruction expert, and he said, time is of essence there. It takes time to scramble more or less the iron particles, the bits on the hard drive. So, you know, the half a minute, 60 seconds that they had probably wouldn't have erased the data. Now, really?
Wouldn't have erased the data. Not wouldn't have erased the data.
Did I say of?
Yes.
See, my head heard half. Really, it did. That's funny because when you said wouldn't have, I'm serious, Gary. When you said wouldn't have, it sounded like you were parroting back what I just said.
And you write it out too, so I mean, it's interesting. Anyway, back to you.
Oh, well, I'm a Pittsburgher. So, one of the Pittsburghese things that I don't do was my car needs washed. I am pretty good at saying needs to be washed. That's one of the things where I rebel against my culture.
I sort of say I need to wash my car. So I go in a different direction.
But I find myself, whenever I say needs something, I am pretty good at putting the to be in. But Pittsburgh, car needs washed.
Yeah. There's my dad, I still sometimes catch him in New Yorker saying, look it. Look it. Not it's rare, but it happens.
So yeah, it was funny because when you parroted, when you said it back to me, that's what I thought I said.
Well, I know you don't listen to the post show, but if you did, you would hear it. Anyway, so what I read was something a little bit different, which is that it's magnetic flux that causes the difference, and so him doing the slow, and then bursting at the end might have done enough damage.
Oh. Hmm.
Even though it also flung him against.
Well, I mean, all you need to do is, corrupt the file system, really. You don't have to mangle all the data on the disk. You corrupt the file system. So there's a couple of strategic points. You screw up a couple strategic sectors on the hard drive, and the computer won't boot.
Now, some of the data, data can be restored, but video and that kind of stuff, that's really...
Well, I mean, you get into forensics there, and you can recover deleted files. Like, recovering a file that has been deleted, but not the space of where the file used to be, hasn't been overwritten. It's easy.
It's simple.
We've actually done it.
Yeah.
Because when you here's an important lesson for everyone who cares a little bit about security. When you delete a file and you hit delete, all it does is delete the pointer to say where the file was. The data is all still there. So if you go to your hard drive and say, go to sector 58 and read 800 bytes, it'll pull that data. When you hit delete, it loses the pointer saying the file is at sector 458.
It basically allows the hard drive to write over that if it wants to.
Yeah. It basically says that hard drive space is not used. So a secure erase says, okay, I'm going to remove that pointer, the inode, and then I'm also going to take the space where the inode used to be and write a bunch of random data there.
Yeah. Several times if it wants to be super secure.
And, well, writing it over once will keep the consumer level undeletes from working. And actually, there's a bit of an argument on how effective it is against people that want to spend a lot of money to get the data back. If you want a file back that has been overwritten once, it'll cost you several thousand dollars. Some people say that the NSA can get a file that's been overwritten five or six times. That's some crazy voodoo magic. Figuring out how... It's like you're doing differential stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so they wrote this. Let's subtract that from what's there now.
Right.
And now we have this. Okay, so maybe they wrote this. So let's subtract that from what's there now. And they can kind of work their way back through the noise. Someone has to be severely motivated to get that data that's been overwritten more than once.
And I'm sure there's a lot of kind of guesswork involved and sort of...
Well, that's it. Okay, does this make sense? No, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Let's try again.
Yeah.
Undeleting a file that's been overwritten more than once or twice is serious magic.
and someone has to be seriously motivated to get it.
I think, but there is secure crypt that does it like 9 times, right? That like doesn't mm-hmm. so there's no. There's...
Well, like if you do a secure erase on Mac OS X, right? I think it wants like the DoD standard, like the DoD secure erase. I think it's like 15 passes.
That's a lot.
If you want to secure erase a whole hard drive, and you're talking about like a 200 gig hard drive, which is a tiny hard drive these days, it's going to take like 3 days to write all those bits 15 times. It takes a long time to secure erase a hard drive. Then there's the, what happens if you physically damage the hard drive? What would it take to get the data back? So when we have failed hard drives at work, it's like the DoD says you have to shred them. Like, you know the paper shredder you have at work or whatever? Imagine a hard drive shredder that makes tiny little bits of aluminum. That's what a hard drive shredder does. What we do at Avere, I'm just giving away trade secrets now. What we do at Avere is take a drill 3 or 4 holes through all the platters.
Mm.
There's enough shit flying around in there. Someone has to really want data that's not that important.
I would use thermite. Would just
melt it,
melt the shit out of it. And
did you see the MythBusters? It was on recently where they were doing a myth about cooking with C4.
Yes.
Oh, they cooked up the thermite. Oh my god, was that? Oh, you need to watch that one. They were trying to inadvertently ignite thermite or C4 without a blasting cap. They could not devise a way to do it. They went to extreme measures, and they could not accidentally ignite C4.
Right.
It's an amazing explosive.
You need compression. You need a supplementary explosive to cause.
It's an C4. Amazing explosive because you can't fuck it up. I mean, and it's so. It does what
you
it does.
You can cook your meal with it, and it won't blow up. You can cook your MRE.
To lukewarm heat.
But one thing that I found interesting, back to slide, just want to go back to the situation with the Breaking Bad thing, just briefly, was that in one of the articles I read, it said that if it was an SSD drive, in order to wipe that data, in order to for the magnet to wipe that data, to take those electrons out of position, mm-hmm. it would need to be powerful enough to be able to pull the iron from your blood.
Okay. I mean, you know, look at the time frame. It was a 2010, 2011 setting. What percentage of laptops? And that was like
no, it's download. Almost certainly. There's no way it was an SSD.
It wasn't an SSD. It'd be too small for video archival.
Yeah.
That's it right there. It's too small for video archival. So... yeah, so...
so I mean, the SSD argument is... But the point is that SSDs... you can't, you know, magnets are not going to affect them in the same way.
When they were having the conversation before, Jesse was like, magnets. Now, I was thinking, like, now, what I love about Breaking Bad is Mike is the voice of reason. He's like, it is, you're thinking movie shit doing this magnet thing. What we need to do is just leave town. Because I was thinking movie shit watching that scene, because before Jesse said magnets, I'm like, Walter's going to do an EMP of some sort. But how can a broke drug dealer, chemist, you can't build an EMP, not in days, you know? So, like, I was thinking crazy Ocean's 11 movie shit, you know? And Mike kind of grounded me, you know? So that was...
And yet again, it was Jesse who came up with the magnets.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's still that they actually did the movie shit, you know. Yeah. I mean, Mike's like, this is fucking insane. You're wasting your money buying the magnet, Jesse. Take your money and run. Uh-huh. Mike was the voice of reason. Mike knows how to be a bad guy, how to be a criminal.
Well, so we'll have to see what happens. So that's we did more show than we expected, I think, tonight.
Yeah. I got an early morning, and I didn't expect to do 2 hours, 45 minutes a show. All right, we're out of here.
See ya.